Hey, this is Gavin Durson with Keep It Simple Podcast. Want to invite everyone to come out on December 18th to Jay's Place in Nicholasville, Kentucky. We're going to be having a regional network Christmas party of sorts for everyone involved in Simple Churches, and bring friends, family, whoever you want. Join us. We're going to have a good time of sharing poetry, songs, stories, food, and just good times with each other. You can find all the details on simplechurchalliance.com. That's simplechurchalliance.com. And while you're there, make sure to download Simple Church Christmas Volume 1, a collection of Christmas music we recorded a few years back at this very gathering. We're going to also be recording the music this year and hopefully putting together Volume 2. So if you'd like to participate or like to join in and share a song, give us a call, give us a contact, and we'll get you involved. But we thank you guys for listening to this podcast and hope to see you on December 18th.
Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple.
I don't want to be a superman. I just want to go somewhere. Use my hands and keep it simple.
Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
Previously on Keep It Simple.
Tom, today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to really just dive into the scripture a bit and take a look at the book of Revelation and some of the things that Jesus said to the churches at the time. Hopefully there can be a challenge, but also an encouragement and perhaps a bit of a thing for us to look at today as it relates to us and our own house churches.
Gavin and I are going to sit down. We're going to do our own little inductive Bible study. In the second and third chapter of Revelation, John's having a vision from Jesus himself. And Jesus tells him, hey, write down these letters to these seven churches in Asia. Real letters from Jesus to real churches at that time. Ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus say to you in a letter? We're going to get a glimpse of what a church should be from each of these letters, and we're going to put them all together and kind of see, you know, this is what Jesus expects, what Jesus wants out of his churches.
Well, why don't we move on to the church of Laodicea?
The last church. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So,
yeah. Well, probably one of the more quoted letters in the book exactly. To the church in the book of Revelation. You know, you have the lukewarm, which a lot of folks talk about, and you probably have also, you know, one of the anyone stares at the door, knock, and right. You know, hears my voice and opens, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You know, that one sometimes I think inappropriately applied, maybe I've probably done it myself, kind of an invitation to people come to become Christians,
right.
But anyways, you know, so you have some familiar, more familiar maybe perhaps passages here. But yeah, what about our picture of Jesus?
Well, that's probably the most positive thing we're going to get out of this letter, is our picture of Jesus. He is the Amen, which I guess Amen means even so, Lord, or truth. He's the faithful and true witness. the beginning of God's creation. So that's probably an unfortunate English rendering. The beginning of God's creation kind of makes it sound like he was the first thing created. We know that Jesus was not created. If you see it as Jesus, the beginning of creation, he brought on the creation. He created the creation.
Yeah.
So, he's the creator. When you finish a prayer with amen, you know you're saying, yes, yes, Lord. He is the yes.
Yeah, and so we also have, you know, a picture of Jesus as being a disciplinarian. Later on, in that, as the one whom, you know, he says, because those whom he loves, he reproves, and I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. You know, he's trying, you know, which again is so countercultural in our day and age. You know, you would never, discipline is almost looked at as like, you know, it's can get you put in jail nowadays if you discipline someone, regardless of your motive. But, you know, he loves his people, so he disciplines them because it would truly be unloving to allow them to continue in the ways that they're going.
Yeah.
You know, and so you see that picture of Christ. He disciplines those he loves.
And as messed up as that church was, he loved them.
Yeah. And we don't like to think about that. You know, I mean, I think a lot of us like to avoid being wrong. We like to avoid conflict. We like to make sure that, you know, no one's ever disciplined, or, you know, we don't like to think of ourselves as being disciplined, but it really is the only loving thing you can do if you love someone, is to help them correct, help their ways be corrected, and that's who Jesus is here.
Okay. How is a church today lukewarm? What does a lukewarm church look like?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I wonder if it's not much like what it is right here. You know, a church that says, I'm rich, I have prospered, I need nothing.
You know? Self-dependent, maybe?
Yeah, like basically believing, yeah, that, you know, losing the sense of their own depravity and their sense of dependency on God. You know, it's always, it kind of reminds me of always the thought of, you know, like, well, why doesn't God, you know, how can God let that person who's never heard, or, you know, good people into heaven? It's like, because there's no such thing. Like, we actually do believe that. Most Christians probably even believe that people are generally good and they mess up from time to time. You know, and it's kind of that adopting that view, I think, even as a God's people. Like, when we adopt that view, you know, we probably are lukewarm. You know, when we kind of believe that we're mostly pretty good people, that, you know, we mess up every now and then. We need God to step in from time to time to help us out, you know.
Right.
You know, we're not denying he's existing or anything, but we're good right now. You know, we don't really need him. We just do what we do because we're pretty good people.
Yeah.
You know, doing some good stuff.
God is a part of our life, but it's our life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than being that person who, you know, like, I remember a story I heard one time. Is a great story. Is two guys that got on an airplane, and the first guy was given a parachute and said, hey, I want you to wear this. It's going to make your flight so much more enjoyable. This is going to really enhance your ride, you know. And so the guy puts it on, and after a while he realizes that, man, it's not very comfortable, actually, and people are looking at him. He's strange looking. Has a big backpack on his back, and he's trying to get relaxed. It's just not working. So eventually he just tosses it. The second guy got the parachute and said, hey, I want you to give you this, you know, backpack. It's got a parachute in it. And once we get up to about 20,000 square feet, these engines are going to be failing, and you're going to need to use this thing to save your life. Well, that guy, he wasn't concerned at all about what people thought. He wasn't concerned about how uncomfortable he was. He wasn't concerned about anything other than holding on to it as tight as he could, because he knew that was his only hope. And, you know, I think so many times, like, we tend to adopt the view of Jesus as a life enhancer, as this will make my life easier. You know, he's going to, you know, be good for the kids. It'll be, you know, something that'll help life, make
that
life.
It really sounds like some people on TV.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the essence of lukewarm Christianity, you know. And he's saying, man, I'd rather you to just be against me than be that way.
Well, one thing I noticed about this church, this particular church, is Jesus doesn't mention that they are suffering in any way. He doesn't mention that they're being persecuted or, you know, it's only that they think life is good. Life is good. So they're not suffering. And so because they're not suffering, they're not really dependent on God. They're self-reliant. You know, they're relying on their riches. And I understand from previous studies of this, you know, that city had a lot of wealth. It had a lot of prosperity. It had a lot of medical advancements. You know, like this salve that you put on your eyes. You know, that was famous for that. So Jesus uses all of these things to kind of zap them and say, you know, you need these things for yourself that only I can provide for you. You know, you can't do it on your own. So, you know, here's a church that's not relying on, has no reason to rely on Jesus. And so they don't. And so that kind of what makes them ineffective.
Yeah, and he's saying, buy from me, you know, so it's almost like he's saying, you're all buying and looking to other things to meet your needs, but buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. You know, he's basically giving them a different picture of what it means to be rich. And he's saying white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. He's saying, come to me for these things so that you can see, so that you can, you know, you're properly clothed and that you know, you have true riches. Mm-hmm. And you almost get the sense that money, maybe outward a beauty, these sorts of things, and were maybe important to the people there. You know, it would be a hypothesis perhaps, but so yeah.
So their correction, he's telling them, be zealous and repent. It's not just repent and do what I tell you. It says be zealous and repent. Like repent, you know. Repent with a vengeance.
What does that mean to you, to be zealous? How would you describe, what would be the other way you would describe that?
I think he's saying, you better repent so hard your head will spin. Yeah. I think you're so messed up, you got a lot of repenting to do. You better zealously correct yourself. You've got a long way to turn back.
Well, I think of the term a religious zealot. You know, is not, that's not usually something we here in America would think, oh, yeah, like that's, we've probably even in the church have called people that in a negative way, but yet here Jesus is saying.
I think of enthusiasm.
Yeah, like.
Repent with enthusiasm.
Be hot, full on, 110%, full throttle.
Yeah.
For me, dependent on me, living for me, that kind of idea. And man, I mean. You know, I can't help but read this and just think of, I mean, that this is, you know, this, of all the letter, I mean, this is the church in the United States, you know, in so many ways. You know, it's just
And a lot of people who have tried to interpret all this book, and they, if you come from a dispensational bent, you tend to interpret these churches as ages, and we are now in an age of the Church of Laodicea. I don't know if I completely buy that, but you can look at the church in North America and say, we're a lot like this church in Laodicea, so why not think
but,
that?
But you know, the good news of it is that, and this knocking at the door is a term of, you know, it is an expression of love, that even for us, Jesus is just outside the door and he is knocking. He is trying to get our attention. He's trying to get his people's attention to welcome him in, and it says that if we open that door, that he will come in, he will come into him and eat with him, and he will be with me. That Jesus, he does not want us to be lukewarm and alienated from him. He wants us, he wants to be intimate and committed to us and be with us. He wants to have that intimacy with this church and with us, I do believe. So, you know, it's again, if you have the ear to hear, you know, is he knocking? And what would that mean to let him in?
So, I'm going to kind of summarize a little bit several of the things that Jesus commended these churches for, as individual churches and as we as a church need to kind of work towards. And that is work, you know, obey what we know to do, and be patient and do that for the long term. You know, obedience is a long term thing. Resist false practices and false teaching. And how we do that, we have to know the real deal, which comes from the scriptures. So it's implied that we know our scriptures so that we can resist those false practices. Endure tribulation and suffering. Be faithful. Be faithful unto death. You know, be willing to give our lives. Over and over again, he says, hold fast, hold fast, hold fast. He says that several times. Hold fast. So hold fast to what we know. Patient endurance. The things that Jesus condemns the churches for. You know, abandoning our first love. So we need to not only hold fast, but, you know, keep that enthusiasm, that first love that we had for Jesus. You know, when we first come to Jesus, we're excited and we're just idealistic, and we need to keep that. We need to avoid idolatry in its forms that come to us today. Maybe that could be what? Materialism, idolatry of ourselves, idolatry of people, celebrity, whatever. Sexual immorality. So we need to, these things we need to repent from. Avoid being lukewarm and avoid being dead as a church. These kinds of things. So in these things, Jesus says, repent, repent, repent and do the things you know to do. So, kind of a picture of the church, a good message, 7-part message for our churches today.
Yeah, and again, when we started this out, I think, again, this is, if you're coming out of a traditional church background, you're listening to this podcast because we talk about simple church, house church types of things. Well, you know, as if we think about the church as an organization or as a institution, then, you know, we can look at these problems. Oh, you know, sexual morality everywhere in the church. Oh, there's couples in here and they're not even married together, whatever. Oh, you know, man, I just seems dead around here. You know, nobody obeys what, the, you know, we can compile a list of gripes that we feel is our job then to bring to the church leaders and complain to them about, look, look, look. But in house church, look, the finger gets, you know, there's one finger pointing away, there's, you know, four more coming right back at you. So you've got really, this is an issue for us to grapple with. And that's one of the hard parts and the good parts about house church, is that if there is correction to be done, it's not something you just sit around and tell other people they need to correct. You actually have to do it, and you have to sort of take a hard look in the mirror. You have to wrestle with this for yourself and for the people that are in your community. And, you know, as I was going through these, I mean, some of these encouragements and warnings, I mean, are real, I think, relevant. I mean, obeying. I mean, that's one of the whole reasons we do Simple Church, is that it's to help people to obey. It's in, when we have close contact, you can actually, it's not just throwing words out there, but you can actually follow through and help people to obey the things that God's teaching them. You know, there's accountability involved in it. Being patient, being, you know, taking a long-term approach. This is something we all need to hear, because as we've discussed in previous episodes, is Simple Church doesn't always, it's not immediate gratification all the times. You know, it's not, if you get 10,000 people going to church, well, every week you can probably hear of a great story that they can show a video about of something that happened in that church that day. Well, in house church, there might be a smaller group of people, and so it might be years before you really have something you can point to within your group as tangible fruit. But be patient. You know, God wants us to be patient with that. Enduring tribulations. You know, I think that day, we've talked about this on here before, and many of the folks I talk with each week, that time is coming. It's a soft persecution now. It's sort of a subtle kind of a mocking type of persecution we have in our country. But I think that we would be foolish to say that there's not more direct persecution that's on its way. Now, will that be this year or next year or for our kids? We don't know. And so all of these things in returning to our first love, you know, remembering the beauty, the excitement, and the enjoy of when we first come to Christ. We talk a lot about here on this podcast of even, you know, the first, there is something unique about when someone comes to know Christ. There's a unique, that is a unique season of time that it seems like, I don't know how long that time lasts for most people, but it seems like over as time goes on, we have to constantly be coming back to that freshness and newness of life that we experience, because this world has a way of sort of hammering us down and creating doubt and causing us to go down in places of lukewarm. When we are first a Christian, we are fully aware in that moment of our complete and total dependency upon Christ, and that's where we need to be living every day. And so a lot of good encouragements here, and felt like that's very relevant to what we're doing here and with Simple Church.
It would be interesting to receive a letter from Jesus aimed specifically at our church and to read it. It would probably break my heart, you know, because I know our church has got issues, and as good as it is, he would probably commend us for some things, and then probably we'd have two columns in our church. Yeah. I'm sure there'd be some things he'd have to say about us. So.
And these were churches to cities, and, you know, again, I always remind myself of that. I think we get so lost, and I don't know exactly all that the implications of that would mean, you know, but, you know, we have so gotten so far away from the city church idea. That when I, you know, but I do believe that when Jesus looks down at Lexington, he doesn't see he sees a church. Mm-hmm. In our city. In Louisville, you're the same thing. And yet we are so wired and geared towards thinking about my church. Yeah. Is this way, and that could be my church of 10,000 or my church of 10, but we tend to, in, you know, whether it be, you know, we think this is what the church. This is the church. It's right here in this living room. It's right here in this building. But it really is, you know, for our city. And I think that's important, because God is wanting, you know, he cares about every believer in this, in our community and in our city. And we need to figure out, as folks at Simple Church, what does that look like to transform the church in our city? What does that look like, that when he looks at our city, he would see a church that is alive and that is not lukewarm? And what is our part in that? You know, is it, you know, what is our part in that? And I think those are things that, you know, I think are always good to think about, and usually always starts with us taking care of our own selves and our neighbor next to us, you know.
Yeah.
And rippling that. But that's why we're doing this. That's why we do Simple Church. It's the multiplication effect. It's the possibility of helping people not just go to church and be consumers, but to be producers that will then, you know, spread throughout neighborhoods and areas of in entire cities. And that's, you know, why I do Simple Church, is that I want to be a part of something that truly, God, it's a wine skin that can truly be replicated, be reproduced, and spread virally throughout an entire area. And that God would look at our church in this city, and he wouldn't have a bunch of corrections for us, but he would say, just keep persevering, hold on.
Hold fast. Well, this has been fun. I enjoyed, first of all, I just enjoyed looking at Scripture and asking questions and taking it apart and seeing how it links with other scriptures and try to find meaning from that. So I enjoyed this, Gavin.
Well, of course you have time. As we've talked before, you are a teacher by heart, and I like that about you. Nothing else to say about that.
Yeah, nothing else to say.
That's a great gift to the church. It is. Hey, what about stuff you like? You got anything I'd like to share?
I like Scripture. I like studying Scripture. That's what I like. I really do. Stuff I like. I enjoy a good scriptural discussion, taking a passage and looking at it and asking the questions, seeing common themes and, you know, cross-referencing it with the rest of Scripture, and then taking that, finding the meaning of it, what God intended to say, and then trying in my feeble way to apply that to my life, and that makes a tangible change.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's what it's about, and I appreciate that about you. And, you know, hopefully what we've done here can, you know, you will see that, hey, this is a conversation that you can have. If you put 10 people in a room, you know, that's just that many more people that are able to comment. And I think part of what we're trying to do here with Simple Church is to create a culture where when we get together with believers, these kinds of interactions are what's happening. Now, yeah. Some people are more introverted and some people are more extroverted, but all of us can, if the Holy Spirit's in us, we are able to, you know, we're going to have a perspective on the Word of God, and we're going to be able to teach one another. And and so we have to learn, rather than it being a monologue, we have to learn a new way of learning the Scripture and teaching each other. And so hopefully what we've modeled here is something that may encourage you to say, hey, well, let's just read the Scripture. We didn't prepare for this necessarily. I didn't. Maybe you did a little bit, but I didn't. We just read the Scripture. We prayed. We asked the Lord before we did the podcast to teach us what He is wanting to say to us, and then we read it. We sort of used some of these inductive questions. What does it say? What does it say about God? What does it say about people? What does it say to me personally? You know, any light bulbs go off in my mind that remind me of things, other paths, and hopefully that's helpful.
I'm going to put a meme on the podcast. It's a picture of a iceberg, and, you know, like 10% of the iceberg's above water, and 90% below water that you don't see. And it has two little bubbles on it, and one says, it points to the top of the iceberg above water. It says, this is what you'll learn from your pastor listening to a sermon. And then the other bubble points to the bottom part, the 90%. It says, this is what you'll learn from studying the Bible on your own. So you're going to learn 9 times more than what you'll learn just by listening to a sermon.
Yeah.
So I kind of believe that. And although there are times when it's good to listen to a good sermon from a good pastor. So good deal.
Well, something I like that I've been into lately in reading that it's not as spiritual as just the Bible as you, Tom, but it's pretty close. I have been in reading the book, The Abolition of Man by C.S. Lewis. Yeah. And, you know, if you've never picked that book up, I highly encourage you to take it. I think especially right now during this highly charged political season that we're in, you know, I have to read that book kind of like the, you know, I have to read a page, reread it a few times to sort of try to digest what C.S. Lewis is saying, because his mind is a lot sharper than mine. And but I really, really love that book. And, you know, if you want to see, I think, the logical progression of rational thought that explains a lot of what's happening in our culture today, then I think C.S. Lewis sort of walks you through that. And he kind of explains the idea of it, which I never really understood until I read the book. I don't think this necessarily gives it away if you haven't. But it's actually, the gist of the book is C.S. Lewis shows how man's pursuit, and it's sort of a pre, I would say it's kind of a book to read before Mere Christianity in some ways, because it's not really talking about Christianity in the book. But he's talking about man's desire to rid himself of this natural law or moral law that we all inherently know exists, right and wrong, absolute. There is this natural law that exists. It's in all sort of religious thought, not all religious thought, but a lot of religions sort of come from this. You know, we may have different ideas, but it's this natural law that mankind has operated under since the beginning, and yet we continue to want to shed ourselves and rid ourselves of. And he sort of walks through the progression of how that pursuit to rid ourselves of this natural law inevitably leads to the destruction of mankind. And how it, you know, just by not wanting to deal with it or to pretend it doesn't exist or to invent our new set of laws and rules to live by, disregarding this natural law, which, of course, later on C.S. Lewis would explain in Mere Christianity, we would know would be, of course, God's law, His revealed truth. You know, he explains how our desire to get away from that just basically ends up in the abolition of man, you know, and it's what in the end will do us all in if we continue to try to do that. And so it's a very good book, very deep, and that's cool. And I couldn't help but to just, as I was reading it and observing all that's going on in our world and politics, it's very good. So highly recommend that book.
I need to revisit C.S. Lewis.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us today. This has been a good couple of episodes here, or a few episodes. We'll be back next time addressing more specific issues related to house church, although this is certainly specific to it, and because it is, after all, we're talking about church, and sometimes, you know, there's not... I had a guy say earlier this week, he's like, well, we never really called it house church or simple church, we just called it church. I'm like, well, that's kind of the way it should be.
Yeah,
and so, but anyways, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out to us, keepitsimplepodcast.com. Simplechurchalliance.com is our website. We have lots of good articles, resources, and videos and things there that you can hopefully enjoy. But get a hold of Tom and I, either one of those channels, keepitsimplepodcast.com.
Send us your comments. Tell us what you want us to talk about. If there's something specific on your mind, we'll try to just address it.
Yeah, or just even if you've been encouraged by something, we'd love to share that with others as well. And feedback's always good. We do want this to be helpful. Me and Tom do like to get together and talk, and it's good for our friendship. But we really are making an investment here. We want this to be as helpful to you out there as possible. So we'd love to hear from you. And thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next time on Keep It Simple Podcast.
See you later. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments. Feel simple.